But, and so we're going to go through this pretty quickly, all right? So you ready? Okay, you're making me feel nervous. Okay, that's okay. So, first of all, thank you. It's always good to be able to come back, to be able to worship with you, to be able to, you know, to meet Jesus together. And so it's always a pleasure to be back here with you. And so this morning, as we delve into this, here's what I want you to do real quick. I want you to turn to the person next to you or somewhere near you, and I want you for 45 seconds to answer this question. What was something memorable that happened last Easter weekend? Excellent! Woohoo! Right? And so real quick, talk with someone else around you, right? 35 seconds now, right? Real quick, what's one thing that was memorable from this past weekend? All right, you got 15 seconds. All right, wrap it up. Now, typically, I would probably spend a couple of minutes just asking some of your responses, but time is short. So here we go. Now, I'll say this. One of the things I realized in hindsight is the name of the sermon is probably a little bit off. It should have been called Questions About Discipleship. Because what we're going to do is, over the next few moments, as we look at this passage in John 21, there's actually some questions that I'm going to suggest that you write down. That as you continue to go through, as you continue to look at it, as you continue to start asking yourself about where exactly is God leading me, maybe some of these questions will help you in seeing where you're going towards. Because if you think back, last weekend was Easter, and I got to tell you, it seemed a long time ago for some reason. It felt like a long time ago. Maybe it's because the weather's gotten cold again and warm. Anyway, well, all that fun stuff. But if you think about it, 2 weeks ago in the church calendar, we had celebrated Palm Sunday. And so during that time, a few days before Jesus' crucifixion, there was this whole procession that happened, if you remember. This whole moment where Jesus enters into Jerusalem, and then people are recognizing, they think, this is the one, this is the king, this is the Messiah. And so there's all these people making this big noise, people who are putting down coats and palm leaves and all this other stuff, shouting Hosanna, and people inside Jerusalem are starting to hear this rumbling happening outside. And all these people had flocked to him because they were waiting for the king to come. And it seemed like the king was coming. Of course, we know how the story goes. A few days later, a whole bunch of them decided, this isn't the king. And now we've got a few. I mean, here's the first question. I had one pastor put it this way. Fan of Jesus, or are you a follower of Jesus? Maybe for some of you, you barely even have heard of Jesus before, and this is part of your discovery right now, and that's good. Keep figuring out, keep looking, keep exploring to see who Jesus is. But for some of you who have been in this rhythm now for a while, who have been in this church for a while now, maybe the first question you got to ask is, am I a fan of Jesus or am I a follower of Jesus? A fan of Jesus says, you know what, I admire what he does. I see what he does. I know what he does. That's cool. But he doesn't know me and I don't know him. For those of you who follow maybe someone on Instagram, right? Someone who maybe you admire and so you see their posts, but if you're a rant in the street, they wouldn't know you. Because a fan knows about someone, a follower intimately knows that person. Are you a fan of Jesus? Or are you a follower of Jesus? That's the first question. And so after the resurrection, Scripture tells us that he appears a couple of times to the disciples. The first time was kind of what was almost this shock moment, because he meets them and they're like, is that really? And the second time now, Thomas is there with them, and he's the one saying, well, okay, because the first time he wasn't there, and they tell him, we saw Jesus, and they're like, well, I don't know. And second time is when he presents him again, and now they begin to realize this is actually the risen Messiah. And then we come to this third time, John chapter 21. So it happened this way. I'll pick up in the second part of verse 1. So Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the two sons of Zebedee, who are James and John, and two other disciples were together. I'm going to go out and fish, Simon told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. I mean, this past weekend, there was probably a lot of exciting things that happened here, right? There's a lot of things that you were involved in, a lot of things that we celebrated. And now you kind of head back into your routine. You had to go back to school. You had to go back to work. And now you're kind of going back in the regular flow of things. And for the disciples, it was no different. After the resurrection, after they met Jesus, they went back into the regular rhythm. And it's in this rhythm, early the next morning, Jesus stood there on the shore. The disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. So maybe here's the second question. Do you recognize Jesus' voice? When he speaks to you, do you actually know when he actually speaks? And the fact is nowadays is that we have all these voices bombarding us. One person says, do this. One person says, do that. One person says, you need this. The other one says, do that. And we have all these voices and all these things are bombarding us, whether it's from your parents, whether it's from your family, whether it's from your friends, your coworkers, billboards, social media. All this stuff is coming at you. And out of all this noise, do you recognize the voice of Jesus? And the only way you can recognize his voice is if you actually try to listen to his voice. Do you recognize the voice of Jesus? So no, they answered. Verse 6. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. So if one question is, do you recognize the voice of Jesus? Maybe the next question, the one following is this. Would you obey the voice of Jesus? It's one thing to hear what he says. It's one thing to recognize what he says. It's another thing to actually follow through with it. Now let's face it, sometimes he asks some stuff that doesn't necessarily seem logical all the time. Because for the disciples, being expert fishermen, they went out in the middle of the night where they're supposed to. They put their nets out the way they're supposed to. They did all the stuff that normally works, and that night, nothing happened. And the next morning, Jesus is there, and he says, throw out your nets. And they're thinking, well, we've been here for a while now, Jesus. Well, they didn't say Jesus because they didn't recognize him. But we've been here for a while now. This guy on the shore is saying, throw out your net. And usually, that doesn't make sense. Because you wouldn't actually go fishing in the early mornings. You go fishing at night because that's the best time to catch it. This guy on the shore is saying, throw out your net. And something about it is they realize, you know what, maybe we should try. It doesn't make sense, but let's try. They throw out their nets and all of a sudden this happens. So are you a fan or are you a follower? In the midst of the everyday, do you recognize the voice of Jesus? And when you do recognize the voice of Jesus, do you actually obey the voice of Jesus? Verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. By the way, if you work in metric in your Bible, it might say a little footnote that says 90 meters, just in case you operate that way. And so when they had landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153, and the net wasn't torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. So are you a fan or are you a follower? Do you recognize the voice of Jesus? And would you obey the voice of Jesus? And then maybe the next part, next question is this. Will you contribute to what Jesus is doing? See, notice here that the fire is already there. There's already fish there. Jesus already got breakfast going. So it's not like he didn't have enough. But then Jesus invites them to participate with them. He says, hey, the ones that you caught, bring it as well. Bring it here as well. And maybe sometimes you look around and you're thinking, you know, what I have to offer Jesus isn't really that much. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know what exactly I can give to Jesus, or I don't even know what I can do. It's not even just about money per se. Money is helpful, but it's not just about money. Jesus is asking for you to contribute who you are, your time, your skills, your gifts. He wants you to bring it. And maybe you look at that and you think, it doesn't seem that much. But Jesus says, I want you, bring it here. And watch me do something with it. See, that's one of the differences between a fan and a follower. A fan just says, You do what you do, right? You do you. Jesus says, I want you to be a part of this. So are you a fan or are you a follower? Would you recognize the voice of Christ? Would you obey the voice of Christ? Will you contribute with him? Verse 15. Some of you are familiar with this passage. So Simon and Jesus have this moment together. And so three times he asked him, do you love me? Because if you remember back a week before, back earlier, a few days before, there's that moment when Jesus was going through the trial, and at first Peter says, you know what, no matter, if everyone leaves you, I won't leave you. And Jesus tells him, you think, no, actually you're going to turn your back on me. And in that moment he does, and when Peter realizes, he goes off and is just in this moment of despair. And so Jesus has this moment with him. He says, do you love me more than these? Peter answers, yes. Again, he asks in verse 16, do you love me? And Peter responds, yes. Third time he says, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him. And he said, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. For the third time, Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. In verse 19, he says to him, follow me. Maybe right now something is broken inside of you. Maybe you've had that moment where you're thinking, Jesus, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. Maybe almost feel irredeemable. The next question would be this. Will you allow Jesus to restore you? Will you allow him to build you up? Will you allow him to forgive you? And to bring you back where he wants you to be? And this one sometimes may take a little more time to work on. There's been plenty of things in my life that I know I look back on and I was like, oh, I wish I didn't do that. Or, oh, that was, oh. And there are times there's that voice inside of me that says, you think you're good enough? Well, actually, Jesus says, no, I don't think you're good enough, but I can still restore you. Will you allow him to restore you? To bring you back to the fullness of life, for him to bring you back to what he intended for you to be in the first place? Will you allow him to restore you? The next one's interesting in verse 20. So Peter turned and saw the disciple, that's John, whom Jesus loved, and who was following them. By the way, there's another day where we'll talk about the dynamics between Peter and John. It's actually pretty fascinating. It's almost like an older brother and a younger sibling that they have this weird relationship. So Peter saw John, and he asked Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" In other words, Jesus is saying to him, don't worry about him. Whatever I do with him is none of your business. He says, I want you to follow this path. So here's the next one. Will you follow the path that he's given you? And maybe you look around and you're thinking, well, that person's life seems so much better. I wish I did what that person does. I got to tell you, my own testimony, how I came to Jesus, is not exactly the most thrilling story in the world. It's pretty mundane in a lot of cases. And I look at it sometimes, I'm thinking, if I share that with people, it's not exactly exciting. It's not like, it's not like I was some, ex-drug dealer that in the middle of the streets and all of a sudden Jesus came to me in a bright light and all of a sudden everything. I didn't have that kind of story. And there are some people who have that story, and that's good. But that's not my story, and so what? The fact is, up to this moment, Jesus has led each of you on a certain path through certain experiences. And he says, I want you to continue on where I'm leading you. Will you go that way? Don't worry about what that person is doing. Don't worry about what this person is doing. You go where I'm telling you to go. Will you follow that path? And it's interesting, in verse 25, John records for us that Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written, because the fact is, Jesus is still working today. Jesus is still working around where you are today. Jesus is working in the midst of where you are today. Will you keep finding where he's working? Will you keep looking to see where he's at? And sometimes maybe it's something within you that he's doing. And maybe sometimes it's the person next to you that he's doing something with that you all of a sudden you see. Oh, look, I see what God is doing there. Maybe it's somewhere in this community in Brampton. Maybe it's somewhere all the way on this side of the world. But will you keep looking and see where Jesus is still working? Will you give him praise for it? I mean, next time, maybe if you go out to coffee with a friend, maybe you go to bubble tea or something, you're sitting there with someone, maybe one of the things they might want to say is, hey, what have you seen Jesus do lately? I saw Jesus do this. Oh, I saw Jesus do this. And imagine if all that was written down. So are you a fan or are you a follower? Would you recognize the voice of Jesus if he spoke to you? Would you obey the voice of Jesus when he speaks to you? Will you contribute to what he's doing already around you? Will you allow him to restore you? Will you stay on the path that he is leading you on already? And will you continue to discover the glorious things he's still doing? I know I threw a lot of questions at you. But maybe take one of these. And for the next 2 days, reflect on it. For the next 2 days, pick one of these and sit on it. Really ask, okay? Because as you go through these questions, it begins to form who Jesus wants you to be. He wants you to be his follower. Not just so that he has an entourage of people, because he wants you to be in this relationship with you. That's so life-giving, that's so fulfilling, that, and so immensely full of grace and love and justice and mercy, that you can't help them, but then to see, help others to see who he is. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Will you recognize the voice of Christ? Will you obey the voice of Christ? Will you join in what he's doing already? Will you be restored by him? Will you follow the path that he's put before you? Will you continue to discover what he's doing? And so, Father, all these questions, would you lead us through them so that we could become more like your Son? We thank you, Jesus, because of your death and resurrection that this can actually happen in the first place. It's because of what you've done, of how you've redeemed us, that we actually can have this available to us. And so help us as we walk with you. Help us discover who you are more and more every day. And we ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.